The book of Matthew, chapter 6. And we're going to begin in verse 19. The heading here says, laying up treasures in heaven. Matthew, chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. But if then the light is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Let's say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice. Heavenly Father, as Pastor Randy comes forth to bring your word, may our hearts be open to hear from you through him this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Eric. I appreciate it. And everyone that's been a part of this service up to this point, it's great to have the opportunity to share in leadership with you guys. Thank you each one so much. So today I want to just really cover this ground quickly, the idea of the treasure principle. And I want to talk a little bit about what the treasure principle is and what it means and how it applies to your life. So this is something to learn here right off the bat. The things that Eric just read were from Jesus' longest continuing teachings or sermons to the crowd. Because he does have a long section in the upper room discourse where he's speaking only to his disciples. But when it just is talking to the crowds that are following Christ, it is the longest passage there in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. If you've got a red letter edition Bible, it looks like nothing but red is on those chapters. It is a section of Scripture that's known as the Sermon on the Mount. And in that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught many of his most familiar teachings. You'll hear the Lord's Prayer there. You will hear, you know, a city on a hill cannot be hidden, and very, very many things that you have heard before. And multiple times in that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus attacked an incorrect worldview that had set in for the Jews. And he often says it, you have heard it said, but I say to you. And there's a passage in there where it literally just, each and every section that is in your scriptures has a heading, and it'll say, you have heard it said, but I say to you. And you would see here, Jesus says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. In other words, you think that the Messiah is coming to abolish the law and the prophets. That's not what's actually going to happen. And then he goes down a little further in verse 21. You've heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder. But I say to you, even if you look at someone and call them a fool and have hate in your heart, it's just like you've committed murder. You guys remember these passages of Scripture, right? So Jesus is attacking in them and in the Jews an incorrect worldview and a messed up way of thinking. Now, let me just say to you, this is beautiful because we got a whole lot of people in our world messed up in their thinking. Can I get an amen? Right? I mean, it matches exactly what we're going through. In our world, it is so applicable because there are so many people who think they've got it all figured out, and yet clearly they don't. There are things that are going on in their life that are giving them fruits back that show them that they are going against God and against His truth, and yet they still believe that they are going the right direction. And so as Jesus attacked the idea of saying, this is what you've heard and what you think you know and what you believe, but I'm here to tell you something even greater is available for you to know. Now, I want to share that with you today, that for all of us, we need to always approach the Scriptures with an open heart and an open mind. We don't need to come to the Scriptures saying, I already know what this says, and this is why I feel good about me. And usually those are the things that actually make you go to those same passages of Scripture over and over again, because you feel like you've got that one down. You don't want to talk about the ones where you don't, right? Or at least, you know, pray for your pastor, because he has a tendency to do that, okay? But here's what we say in this similar phrasing. You've heard it said, but now I say to you, I just want to share with you, Christ is attacking a different worldview than the one that he wants for us. And so it's important that we grasp it. So what we choose to treasure both affects our feelings. Now, I want to stop right here. So what exactly is the treasure principle? What is it? Here is what it is. It says what we choose to treasure both affects our feelings and something else that's coming. Now, let me just say very quickly, the idea of treasure is to honor something, to invest in something, or to value something above other things. Are you guys with me? Y'all with me? Okay, so if you think about this for just a moment, I would just say to you, hey, did you hear about the stocks? You know, the stocks in McDonald's plummeted overnight. And you're like, I don't care. Doesn't bother me. But if you have money in stocks in McDonald's, you care, right? Why? Because you are what? Invested in that. So what are you investing your life in? I'm not here to talk to y'all about stocks. I'm here to talk to you. You don't need to hear my stock advice, okay? By the way, if anybody's got any, let me know. All right, so, shameless plug, all right? But here is what the thing is. What Christ is saying to his listeners is, what do you treasure? What do you value? What do you honor with your life, not just simply with your words? It affects our feelings, what we do with that honor. And I just will tell you very quickly, I learned this principle a long time ago. One of the very first marriage counseling seminars that I had ever gone to, it wasn't for me to learn, but for me to learn from. And so ultimately, I was listening to that, and Gary Smalley, a man who is now in the presence of God, but was probably one of the biggest influences in my ideas and concepts on relationships, he said, for most people, we do not grasp how powerful it is for us to honor or treasure somebody in our life. Now, I want to stop for just a second and think about this. This is so true, and you know it at your very core. I don't even have to convince you. I just need to illustrate it so you can grasp it. And so ultimately, what he was trying to convey is, have y'all ever had somebody when you walked into the room and they go, what happened? They honored you because they were excited to see you. They watched other people walk in there and they're like, whatever, whatever. It's, you know, you. They value you above other people and other things. This is the treasure principle. And if you continue to treasure the people in your life that are most important in your life, it will add value to them constantly, and it will even affect your feelings, because truth be told, for you and for me, for most of us, what we actually feel follows our actions, and we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. So what is that principle? It is this very thing. What we choose to treasure affects our feelings. And let me just say something else. I've got bad news for you. You can't value everything in this world that is worthy of value. I'm sorry. I hate to be that guy, but it is true. Because you can't care enough about your kids and also care just as much about something that's happening in another part of the world that you don't know and you will never visit and you don't know a single person that lives there. You just have to choose. You know why? Because you and I do not have what God has. He has an infinite supply of love for humanity that flows out of him. That is why we kept talking about being attached to the river of life. But you and I have a finite amount of care that we can give to other people. And so I would encourage you. You know what? I'm going to rewind that. I said that you can give to other people. I want to say it differently, that you can give to other people and things. That you can give to other people and things, because here is what you probably don't realize. You understand how important it is for you to give that matter of value and care to people, But you also do that same exercise when you're talking about football. College football, like I do, right? Like, I care about college football. And the more time that I put into caring about that stuff, the less time that I have to give it to those who actually need it from me. Because I love the Sooners. I know that puts some of us at odds. I'm sorry, ladies back there. I know y'all want to fight me when I say I like the Sooners. Get your horns down. Don't do that, all right? They're back there doing this. That's a devil sign. That's a devil sign. Man, you're affecting the whole church. You see what I'm up against? All right. Y'all made my point for me. You cannot pour into the Sooners constantly and it not take away from what I can give to Shelley. I didn't get an amen, but I wonder if y'all are with me. Because ultimately, sadly, we used to believe that we could think that we could just do it all, have it all, be it all, and we simply have figured out that we cannot. The more that our world is expanding, the more we realize we can barely keep up. I mean, how many of y'all have no idea what 6'7" means? I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, even the teenagers are like, I don't think I know, and I'm actually in the midst of it all. So ultimately, these things change, and then they change again, and then they change again. And as you get a little older, now you feel it creeping in. It's like, man, I can't keep up. I've seen styles come and go and come again. Right? I'm actually about ready to go buy me another set of Doc Martens that I used to have about 25 years ago. Why? Because it all comes around and it's hard to keep up. Why am I saying all this? I'm not here to be a stand-up comedian. Thank God I'd be out of a job. But here's what I know. You can't pour constantly into these things that don't matter without it affecting whether or not you have enough left to pour into the things that truly do. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all of these things will be added to you. He didn't say, give God whatever is left over and hope that it's enough. He says, give Him the very best and the very first. Now, I don't know if you guys can think about this with me, but here's what it is. What we choose to treasure affects our feelings, and then it also reveals our feelings. This is the two-sided coin of the treasure principle that I want to teach you. I want to teach you that it affects your feelings and reveals our feelings. How many of you guys in here have ever put in a 2 weeks notice at a job? Longest 2 weeks of your life, wasn't it? Longest 2 weeks of your life. Why? Why? Here's the principle. Here's the treasure principle being played out in front of you. What you cease to care about ceases to matter to you. This place is going to go on without me. I don't care about it anymore. All of my heart is fixed on something else. So it feels like the longest 2 weeks of your life. It's like living without hope. It's like going to a jail sentence, you could call it, for the last 2 weeks, right? Why? Because this is it. It affects your feelings. You cease to value something, invest in something, care about something, and then it ceases to matter to you on the level that it should. Why does this matter? You're like, Randy, all right, fine, I get it, but I don't understand. Put that into your marriage. You stop valuing and investing and caring about your spouse, and then what happens? What happens? You stop doing that with your kids because they're driving you crazy. They're at this age where they do these things that make me crazy, and I'm just pulling back little by little. I'm still faking it, and I'm going through the motions, but I don't connect with them on my heart. And when that happens, guess what? They don't have to be able to, like, verbalize it, but they can feel it. And you start pulling back. Man, this is why it's so important. That second side of the coin, it reveals your feelings. If you feel yourself pulling back from important things, then this is your warning from God to get yourself correct rather than let it go too far until something goes all the way off the rail. Can I get an amen? Amen? So it affects our feelings because of what we're investing, but it also reveals our feelings. Two sides to the same coin, to this treasure principle. So very quickly, I don't even have time to talk about that. I feel like that might be powerful, but I might have to come and get that at another time. So why does it matter? Because we all believe that actions follow our feelings. As a matter of fact, you've heard people say, I just wasn't feeling it. And so they tell you that they're not doing what they know they should do because they just didn't feel like doing it. And that's become acceptable when the truth of the matter is that we have but one life to live. One life to live. And so we've got to be very careful that actions follow our feelings. We know that. Instinctively, we know it. If I feel it, I'll probably act on it. That's dangerous in and of itself as well. But here's something else. We don't think about it much, but Jesus said feelings also follow our actions as well. And David said, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul?" And then he says, "I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." I'm making a conscious choice to go against my feelings and put them in their proper perspective and place instead of letting them change everything about my life. For you and for me, yes, our feelings do affect us, but they also are affected by choices that we make. I won't even ask you about church, but let's talk about the gym. How many of y'all have ever gone to the gym when you didn't feel like it and then glad you went? I'm not going to ask y'all about church. Keep your hands down. But I've heard terrible people, not like you wonderful people. Every person has come to church and then left and said, "You know what? I really needed that. God knew what I needed before I knew what I needed. And he knew what he had prepared for me even when I didn't want to come." And thank God that I did not miss out on the blessing that God had for what? So for you and for me, we need to put ourselves in this proper perspective. Yes, it is revealing, but it is also something that we take control of by the choices that we make. This is why it matters. We have to choose to invest ourselves correctly in the things that we financially invest in, that we engage in, that we honor with our time. The feelings all follow those choices, and it's very important. So here is the big idea: where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. A very, very powerful and famous teacher named Jesus said these words. You probably heard exactly what Eric said. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I always have you guys repeat the main big idea here, but here's what I want to do. I want you to choose to instead say it this way: where my treasure is, there my heart will be also. On the count of three, here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. So you better place it in the correct areas. And you better realize that you can't spread it around without shortchanging something important if you haven't figured that out. All right, very quickly from God's Word. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. It's all so temporary, and isn't it so true that we know it and yet we don't know it? Like, we know it, but we don't know it. We know it up here, but we don't live like it down here with our feet and our hands and our heart. We act like this place is going to be around forever. You're going to act like the money that you made can't just figure out a way to go somewhere else in somebody else's bank account, because they can. You act like the stock market's always going to be where it is, and it's not. All of that stuff is not a firm foundation. It is all shifting sand, right? And so we have to be very careful that where our treasure is, that is where our biggest investment of heart is. If we truly love the Lord above all things, it should show. It should be something that is very clear. And I'm moving quickly. The chains of habit are too weak to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. I believe this quote is true. I believe this is true because truthfully, most of us begin to act in a way that we don't actually believe every time. But when we begin to act that way, we don't realize the small chains that are being put on us, replaced by heavier ones, by heavier ones, by heavier ones. And this is why many times we look around at ourselves after we've lived a number of decades and we go, "How did I get here?" Like, I was convinced that I would be the one that would beat the odds, and I would still be passionate when I was X years old. And I would still care about those things the way that I used to care. And I would still get moved at Christmas, and I'd still cry at the right things, and I'd still get angry at the right things. But the truth of the matter is that for most of us, life just wears us down. And then we turn around and look around and go, what did I miss? You and I missed the idea that as life was changing around us, we valued the wrong things. And we overestimate the big thing, and we way underestimate the daily chains that our habits put on us to disregard and disengage and walk away rather than say something, to grunt at our spouses and our kids instead of saying, man, it's great to see you, and let your face light up. And when was the last time your face lit up when your spouse walked in the room? I know, yesterday is Valentine's Day, so I know it was yesterday, right? Because they were dressed up. I get it, all right? And they were taking you to go get some seafood, and I get that. So we must be very careful that we treasure those things that have real value and those things that actually hold their value. And I want to share this with you. Our world is constantly pressuring us to value possessions and pleasures and people and popularity and power that will all eventually go away. And when it does, we will be left in looking around at the foundation that we do or that we do not have. This is why your favorite Disney star is so screwed up in their adult life. Why? Because they were given everything, and they did not have to develop the inward character to sustain the things that were being placed on them. Be popular. Have these possessions. Do these things. Seek these pleasures. Please these people. All of this stuff breaks us because we were not created for it. Jesus alone was created for it. And because of that, we have a firm foundation who can handle this stuff, but we've got to release it rather than embrace it. And our world is telling us that this is the most important thing for us to embrace. All right, so we talked about Valentine's Day. We talked about this, and here's what I would share with you. The truth is that Valentine's Day is a good thing. Now, some of y'all don't think it's a good thing. I get it. I understand. I'm not a very romantic guy. Y'all pray for my wife, okay? We have stayed married, but I'm not the most romantic guy in the world, all right? But here's what I would share. It is always a good thing to be reminded of the things that are important and actually have a day where it's set aside, like Thanksgiving. Do I love that we have to set it aside to remember to be thankful? No. Do I prefer to have one that checks us rather than we just let it keep going by? Yeah, I prefer that. This is why God has holidays and festivals and all of this all throughout His Word, because He knows as human nature we are constantly doing those things that put chains on us. We do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And until we pull ourselves out of that and look up for a change, we miss what God can do and is doing in us. And we don't see those things that actually have great and amazing value. All right, so I'm just going to keep moving here. What does it look like? I want to talk to you about what it looks like in your own interactions with your family, your spouse, your parents, your friends. What does it look like to treasure, to honor, to invest, to value? You greet them when they come in. Like when your kid gets home from school, let them know that you know they're home and that you're glad they're home. And this is not the time to let them know what the to-do list is, right? I'm sorry, it's not. Talk to them, visit with them, chat with them for a minute, and then say, hey, listen, I'll get in touch with you in like 3 minutes about what we need to do, but I'm just glad you're home and glad you're safe. Just want you to know I love you. Eyes brighten and smile when they see you. They take time to be with you. They engage with you. They're not just simply around you geographically. This is how you know that somebody values you. They are intentional about making time to interact with you. This is what it looks like. If this is not what it looks like in your life, in your home, can I tell you, this is why at the Puckett household, we had almost every single night we ate dinner together. I know that sounds super old-fashioned. I know that sounds really old school. I know that sounds like it's a crazy idea, but here's what I will tell you. This is very, very, very important, and it stops all of the other outside noise. Everybody put their phone away, Dad and Mom included, and we sat there and we talked and we chatted, and the world actually kept spinning on its axis. Nothing fell apart. Nothing blew up. Everything that actually needed to get done was done about 30 minutes later when we were done eating and done pouring into our kids and letting them pour into us. Man, I tell you what, I miss those times. I really do. It is a special time when I get my kids all around the same table again. I'm telling you, you've only got a little bit of time. Take it from an old man. Take advantage of it right now. All right, so how can you use this principle? You deepen any relationship that you're looking to deepen, that you treasure, by increasing the visible honor. Don't let them think, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, maybe they really care, maybe they don't, I don't know. Let there be no doubt. And you're like, well, what if they get spoiled? Man, kids get spoiled by possessions, not by, you know, getting together in your presence and enjoying one another. Like, you love them. Love them like crazy. They get spoiled by having too many possessions and doing their own thing constantly. Don't do that too much. But, you know, spend time with them. They won't get spoiled. As a matter of fact, they'll grow and blossom. So if your feelings are not there as you begin, your feelings will follow this action. This is the treasure principle kicking back in, right? And I know I've only got a little bit of time, so let me just keep moving. But we truly treasure, and this is where we struggle, and I'm going to hit this quickly. What we truly treasure is revealed by the words that we speak. This passage of Scripture, I underlined it from Luke chapter 6. It says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure, that word treasure keeps showing up, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. When you can't say anything good about anyone or anything, then the problem is not anyone and anything, it is guess who? Guess who? It is me. And it is me sometimes, for sure. And then what do we truly treasure is revealed by the words we speak, but also the daily actions we take. Here's what I don't like about Valentine's Day. People who haven't been involved show their love like crazy. They spend money they don't have to make up for the months and months that they did not pour into the people that they love the most. I'm not saying that that happened here with any of you guys, but I'm saying it's something that does happen. So here's what we share. Here's what God's Word says, and I'm going to hit this so quickly. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it didn't fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Do you recognize there's only one thing that changed about either one of this wise or foolish builder? They both built a house. They both faced a storm. They both made a decision, but one chose to go the harder route and build on the rock, something that was outside of himself. The other thought, I got this figured out. I'll save money and I'll save time and I'll do this. But the trouble is that there is always trouble. And when trouble hits, it reveals what's actually happened in your heart, whether or not you've grown the character that God wants for you to grow, or else you've just been going through the motions. So it reveals what has or has not happened. Here's the only difference. One does them, his house is on the rock. One doesn't do them, and his house is on the sand. For most of us as Christians, I'm going to get real personal with you. Most of us as Christians, we think to ourselves that we will actually automatically do what is best for us, but we don't. We think about it, but we don't. We've got to grasp how huge the gap is between knowing and taking action, because what we act upon, again, reveals the treasure principle. How much do I truly honor what God has said about my life and what it ought to look like? All right, very quickly, the second one is our lack of constant consistent attention to the treasure principle leads us to be off target for long stretches of time. So you and I have to ask ourselves, what do I have in place that reminds me, hey, get back to what is important. Don't let yourself run and fade for this long. From God's word, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that every one of us may receive what is due for what he has done in this body, whether good or evil. That is not just to those who are unsaved. That includes us as Christians. We must all give an account of the way that we have chosen to live or not live our life for the Lord. So it is incredibly important. And if I know that this is true, I need to start living in light of it. You know why? Most of us, we wait until we're older to really think about what legacy we live and what legacy we will leave. But the truth is that's a good question for every single one of us today, no matter who we are. Very quickly, some big questions. What things do your actions say that you treasure the most? Not what you would prefer to treasure the most, but what you actually treasure the most. And are you proud of what your actions say that you actually value the most? Do you have pride in that or no? And then the other question here is, what is one thing that you could begin to do now or stop doing now that would reveal that you truly treasure the things that God would have you treasure the most? For most of us, I ask that question, you know there's at least one thing that you aren't doing that you should, or one thing that you're not doing that you know you should as well, and you could start right now. Okay, very quickly, here's the I apply by. Make yourself accountable to someone today. Make sure that things that you are daily treasuring with your actions are the things and the people that you actually value the most. And then take action now. Don't wait until you've got the perfect plan or the perfect words or the perfect time, because that stuff never seems to find your way. Imperfect actions are better than perfect intentions. Can I get an amen on that last little section there? Imperfect actions are better than perfect intentions. So as Jesus says, will you build your house on the rock or on the sand? The question for you and I is, what do we value and what do we treasure? What are we investing our life in? And if it's not something that brings glory and honor to God, if it's not something bigger than ourselves, I think we're missing the point. Heavenly Father, please use these words. Use, most importantly, your word to show us, Lord, that ultimately we tend to go in our own way. We tend to go in our own direction. But real truth, real security, real refuge, real strength is not found within us. It is found on the one that we rely on. It is you. Lord, draw us back to yourself. And Lord, please help us. If we have let the most important things and people somehow find a back seat, I pray that we would remedy that and that we would seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness and let all of these things